From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Today, from Storm Kira to Storm Dennis, a week of such menace, fantasy managers almost need a trip to the chemist. Don't worry though, we've got helpful tips to take you through the testing times ahead, the moves to make, plus our biggest transfer mistakes. Hello, fantasy manager. What an unusual situation. Here we are, three games in. Got another, 5 days or so before it's all over, but our teams are locked in and there's nothing that we can do about it. On board then, here in mid-game week 26 limbo, we got Jeff Dance of Fantasy Football Scout. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, James.
We've also got former pro Sam Parkin.
Hello, James.
Can you guess what his team's called?
Parking the Bus.
Brilliant. And former league leader, Julien Laron.
Hello, James.
Where are you now, Jules?
Third. I prefer being the hunter than the hunted, to be fair. So that suits me.
Yeah. What happened, Jules?
I forgot to play last week.
What?
Yeah. I wanted to do all my changes and everything on Friday night.
Yeah.
And then with the children and everything, it was busy. And then Saturday morning, one of my boys had a game. And then it was too late. I was gutted.
Well, this is what you say. You say you forgot, but maybe you just made a bad decision.
No, trust me, I didn't. Nothing changed. Nothing, even my starting 11, nothing changed at all.
Personally, I find that when I forget to make transfers, I generally do better than the ones I would have made. But what would you have done?
So, for example, I would have started Danny Ings and not Sergio Rico, who, exactly. You see, that's enough said. But my boy Doucouré did me proud. Because I think, despite, you know, how much we love each other, I would have sold him.
Okay, and he's doing all right for you again.
He scored nine points.
Right. Sam, you got Calvert-Lewin in your side. Last time you were on, you were buying loads of Liverpool players ahead of the double game week. How'd that work out for you?
I forgot to do my substitutions before the double game week, and I haven't got any children to blame it on. I can only blame it on a spa that I was away at for a couple of days, and I remembered about 20 minutes after the deadline, was a hammer blow.
Was it a Friday deadline or something?
I can't recall when it was, but you know when the game almost freezes because everyone's doing a little bits of business and then it just slams shut, essentially. Mm. I think I just arrived during that period.
Door was closed in your
door
face.
Door was closed. So this week, having had the Manchester City game get postponed, I thought I was about to be dealt another hammer blow, considering I've got three players in and I've got a little bit of respite from that, which I'm delighted about.
Well, there is a lesson from this, Jeff, isn't it? And that is, do your team straight after the game week, you know, ahead of the next game. Not necessarily the transfers, but at least lock a team into position that you think is going to be relevant to
those fixtures. Every game week after, when the game uploads after it's been updated, I always set my team for the next game week right away, about an hour after the deadline, just in case I forget later on.
Right. Yeah.
You'd be fixed.
Excellent. You got no points so far this game week, Jeff.
But I've had no players play, so I don't feel too bad about it. I still have my whole team to go. not as bad as it sounds.
Right. I mentioned Storm Dennis there in the intro, because after coming through the first half of game week 26, which had one fixture, Man City West Ham, postponed till next Wednesday, there's now the prospect of similar scenes this weekend. Two games at risk, the Southampton clash with Burnley on Saturday, and on the same day, the game at Carrow Road, which would see Norwich up against Liverpool. This is potentially huge because, I mean, it's not official, but I don't think any rescheduling of those games would see them involved in Game Week 26 anymore. And 2 million people have captained Mo Salah in the Norwich game.
It would be a difficult one for them to get it into Game Week 26, so it probably would mean a double game week down the road. And you look at the ownership of these players, Salah is the second most owned midfielder. Three of the top five defenders are Liverpool players, so it would be would mix things up quite a lot.
Right, 2 million people captaining Mo Salah. Mm. That's got to be amongst the all-time highs for captaincy.
Certainly this year it is. Right. One or two, I think.
Right. Over a million managers have transferred Salah in over the last two game weeks as he makes his return from injury. All right, well, much to discuss today. Obviously, we can't get too much into the fixtures because our teams are already locked in for this weekend's games. But plenty of other things to be discussing, not least how to cope with the fixture disruption down the road. And that's coming up next in The Long View. Long View. Everybody, we're taking a long-term view of team building as we head into what are now the final-ish matches of this season, Jules. Up next after this weekend's games, game week 27, and then after that, it's the blank. The blank is coming for Man City, Arsenal, Sheffield United and Villa. We've all got their players. How do we cope? Jeff, what's the answer?
I think it depends on your team. I think that knowing these blanks were coming, if you can kind of bank your transfers and then use transfers to get around this first one, that's the most important thing, because there will be more blanks coming up, game week 31 and down the line. I think this is one of the smaller blanks, actually. If you can get through this without playing your free hit chip, that's probably the way to go.
Right. There's only four teams that are blanking in game week 28, but it's weird how those four teams seem to represent so many of our players, particularly with Man City and Arsenal and Sheffield.
Yeah, I mean, Manchester City is going to be problematic for me because I've heavy loaded before this West Ham game all my eggs in that basket. So
what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to have to get...
You could forget.
I'm going to have to obviously replace one of them with a Liverpool player ahead of their nice fixtures in the next few weeks. But to complicate matters further, I've got John Egan as well of Sheffield United who don't play. So that's four players I really need to replace in the next 2 weeks. So it's going to cost me 8 points at least.
Wow. Jules?
Kevin De Bruyne, which I have to say, I've had a dilemma for a very long time. Do you keep him? Do you sell him? 1 week he does well, 1 week he doesn't, and then the next week he does well again. So he's the only Man City players I have. I've got no Arsenal. I've got Lord Lundstrom, obviously, but I think he can go on my bench for a week. And so it's all about De Bruyne for me, and I'd be very tempted to let him go.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he only returns once every other week?
Because I think that you could use a lot of his money to be clever almost each week, or look at a two-week window to almost rotate that player to one of lesser pedigree, but who has good fixtures coming in over 2 or 3 weeks.
Right. That makes a lot of sense.
And save a lot of money as well.
By doing that, you'll be using up that you're kind of assuming that you're not going to be needing your transfer each week other emergencies.
But, yeah.
And as Jeff was mentioning, there are going to be other situations coming up, not least game week 31, where there are only three matches that are 100% sure of going ahead.
There'll be a few matches that don't go ahead in game week 31 because of the cup game. So I think it'll be quite a bigger blank than this one. So again, I think that's a time to use your free hit. Maybe use your wild card ahead of that or around there. This is why all season we kind of think the double game week season, that's when you play your chips, because that's really when the disasters can strike your team.
And when you're into the 30s, that's when you're into those massively either reduced or expanded game weeks. Yeah. Likely to be, although, again, not official, but looking like probably game week 34, 30 and game week 37 for double game weeks. But that is an evolving situation, not least because of the weather. Mm. With game week 28, how many managers do you think are thinking, we'll just ride it out with Lundstrom on the bench, just bench people and not take massive hits to realign their team?
I think a lot of it is down to your strength on the bench already. For me, as the season's evolved, my strength has been in my starting 11 and I've had very little to call upon.
Who's on your bench at the moment?
At the moment, I've got Douglas Luiz, who actually did get a goal the other day for Villa. But he was sat on my bench. Williams at Manchester United, who's obviously had a good run of games, but Solskjaer seems to have reverted back to a back four now with Luke Shaw playing left back. So I'm hopeful for the game against Chelsea, that's obviously coming up, that maybe he'll play a back three, and that would mean that Williams will play either at left back or left-sided centre-half. And Kelly, who's been obviously a mainstay of a lot of fantasy league teams this year at Crystal Palace, now picked up quite a bad injury. So he's going to be missing, and Palace defensively all over the place, really.
A bit of work to do.
And Jules, I think maybe this is where you're selling KDB, selling De Bruyne to help out the rest of your team. Maybe now is the time to fill out your bench a little bit. So if you've got one of those cheap players on your bench who you don't really want to keep, maybe selling De Bruyne for some mid-priced option then boosts up your bench a little bit.
Interesting point, Jeff. So we're now heading into the part of the season where the bench becomes really important, not just in terms of the points you've wasted by leaving players on it, Sam, but because those players are going to come increasingly into play. I mean, I've used it as a place to, you know, as stash enablers until now, but now I've got to change my thinking up a bit.
Probably. There are some nice cheap options that I think we'll get into in the essential differential category at the end. So maybe there are some nice, still some nice cheap defensive options or bench options, but maybe now it's time to optimize our benches a little bit and spend a little bit more money, look at the rotation and kind of try to work the fixtures a little bit. When we know that someone is going to be missing a game in Game Week 28, who can we take off of our benches to fill in that spot in these blank game weeks?
Right.
For example, if you look at De Bruyne at 10.8,
yes,
and you go for someone like Nathan Redmond, who Southampton are in a, you know, good form, good confidence. If you look at the fixtures for Southampton, it's Villa, West Ham, Newcastle, Norwich, Arsenal and Watford.
Yeah.
I mean, Redmond can do really well in those games. He's 6.2 or 6.3 million. So there's, you save 4 million by selling De Bruyne and get Redmond in, and you still have those 4 million to then reinvest in someone else, and thinking, you know, Redmond potentially could bring you a lot of points.
Traore as well is another one of those Traore in that same price bracket.
On the subject of rotation, meantime, next week, midweek, sees the return of the Champions League, which will presumably have a fair impact as well on our team selections, because people like Jurgen Klopp, Pep Guardiola, will be rotating some of our most trusted assets out of their starting lineups. Where do you see the biggest risk? We all know about Pep, but what about Liverpool?
I think when you consider the league table, you have to put them into the same equation. I wouldn't put Spurs and Chelsea at too much risk, because the games, the magnitude of the next three games for Chelsea are enormous. He can't prioritise Frank Lampard. And I think Tottenham as well don't have the bodies. Yeah. You might see a bit more of Jedson and Ndombele in the next few weeks, but I don't think there's going to be a great deal of rotation at either of those two. Liverpool and Manchester City, certainly. I think probably more so Manchester City. The Leicester game is the one to worry about. Not this fixture against West Ham, but the following one prior to the Champions League game.
And Pep had said before that Leicester game, he didn't want to rotate because he thought that was the kind of prep before the Champions League game, that he'd play everyone in that because everyone needs to get up to speed. Now they have a game before that on the Wednesday before. So I think that Leicester game, now there's a whole lot of risk there where some of the big players maybe don't play, or maybe it's in the rescheduled Wednesday fixture where they don't play.
Yeah, I'm sure we can absolutely trust what Pep says about that. Okay. A Europa League, of course, could have a bearing in managers' team selections. Wolves, Arsenal and Man United all taking part in Europa League games from next Thursday for the next 2 weeks. Wolves, maybe not too many changes expected there since they've only got about 13 players anyway.
Although that new signing, we mentioned it.
Daniel Podence.
Yeah, Podence. We mentioned him 3 weeks ago. And he had a bit of time now to get to know the squad and Nuno and all of that. And I think he's cheap. And for people who've watched him in the Champions League with Olympiacos, he's a very, very talented player who I think could do very well in that team. In the way the team plays, I think he's a perfect fit for this Wolves side. Whether he will come in now and start every single game, I'm not sure. So maybe give a bit of time, but he's certainly one to keep an eye on.
You're keeping an eye on him?
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
Again, in my KDB, you know, idea, Redmond, Podence, Traore, those kind of people are 6.5 million. I think there's something in there.
All right.
Will you look at me smiling like
Jules, your track record, it speaks for itself.
Thank you.
As for what the Europa League fixtures might mean for assets and their use at Arsenal, we'll be touching on that a little bit later on when we come on to essential differentials. But up next, let's see what answers we got to our listener question, which this week was, which FPL asset do you really wish you hadn't sold this season and why? Listeners, who do you wish you hadn't got rid of and why? Chris says Salah for a few game weeks. I turned to Mane and Salah bashed me with 3 double-digit hauls in that time frame. Ouch. Nathan says, I wildcarded and took De Bruyne out for Son just before his 19-point haul against Arsenal. Wow. It's a little bit of a warning for someone there, eh, Jules? Yeah. His Yam says Lundstrom, because I thought he's going to keep his spot forever. Lundstrom hasn't been in the starting lineup of late, but he's returned this game week, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a fluke. I think you just have to take that one on the chin. I let him go a couple of weeks ago, and considering he's on the bench, it's one that's going to...
Well, he's got 7 points. I'm delighted, but does that mean that now I've had that, I should just cash in?
Well, he's put himself right back at the forefront of his manager's plans, you'd have to say, but they've got, obviously, a new recruit in that area as well, so it's not a given that he's going to start, but... I wouldn't be rushing to get him straight back in just yet.
No, but if you have him, does that mean that you know, I think everyone was waiting to sell him, but now we're probably all changing our thoughts, Lundstrom owners.
Well, he has that blank in game week 28, so I'm thinking. I may still sell him. But the one thing I would say about all these, the transfers you make, just because something doesn't pay off and the player you sell gets points, doesn't mean you didn't make the right decision. So Lundstrom, I think we all thought, well, he might not start. He didn't start. Mm. So the fact that he came on and scored a goal, yeah, that's great if you held him, but that doesn't mean that it was the wrong decision if you got rid of him. That still potentially was the right decision.
All right, that's comforting. Jerome missed out on KDB's 19-pointer and Trent's 24-pointer because he left him on the bench. And Stephen says Jimenez and Traore. Sam, what about you? Who do you regret getting rid of this season?
Yeah, I have to echo that chap there, Alexander Arnold. I started the season with him in my side. I had Robertson.
Why did you?
I don't know. I obviously needed some money further up the team in the midfield or the striker area. So I let him go just before game week 10. I've put him back in now after game week 21, but I missed out
11
on
11 game weeks.
I missed out on 64 points.
Jeepers.
If you counted exactly how many, that must hurt.
Including 24 points that he got at Leicester. So.
And if you'd never had him in the first place, you would have bought him in way earlier. But the fact that you'd sold him meant that you almost couldn't. Is that right?
Yeah, presumably, yeah. I've obviously rotated a lot of informed defenders like Soyuncu. Egan's been in my side at points as well, but nothing to the levels that he's been producing the last few weeks and months.
Julien, your season's probably littered with catastrophic errors.
I made like everyone else. You know, some stuff don't work out. I kept Tammy Abraham, for example, at the point where he was really going through a drought. There was four game week in a row, I think 16 to 19, where he only had 2 points, didn't score, didn't assist, nothing. And I wanted to sell him after that game where he had 12 points against, I don't know, he had 2 goals or 1 goal, 1 assist.
It's Villa, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And I had a feeling that after that, things might get a bit tougher for him because he played so much that there was always going to be a point where physically, I think he would struggle. Uh-huh. And then it was those 4 games. And yeah, I had him in my team.
All right. Jeff?
Well, 4 blanks doesn't seem bad when I think about how long I held Pookie for. So I held him for 7 blanks.
I thought he belonged to your blanks. Family. I thought he was a family relative because you kept him for so long.
I'm very loyal. So I had him for 7 weeks. He blanked all of those 7 weeks.
And what was the straw that broke the camel's back?
I think I finally just had an extra transfer and I finally could get rid of him. And when I got rid of him, he then returned in 4 of the next 5 game weeks. So after having him for 7, then he...
That's so bizarre because that's exactly what happens to every... There's what, 7 million managers out there, and we've all had the same experience. I don't know how all those runs can coexist together. But
I think the one thing I've done well this season, I played the perfect Pookie card. I played him twice and he got 4 goals, and then he's not been seen since. And he was captain when he got the hat-trick, putting me about 100th in the world, and I've fallen like a stone each week.
Like Pookie did, pretty much.
Pretty much, I've mirrored Pookie season.
All right, well, there's still time to turn it around. And you know what will help, Sam? Our essential differentials. Yeah, interesting crop in the essential differential department this week. Remember, we're looking for players with less than 10% ownership, but who we feel are going to produce some big points going forward from game week 27 onwards. Jeff, you are going for Jack Stevens of Southampton.
I am. So I brought him in last week. I'm looking at defenders who have low ownership and who are cheap. So who have a fixture in game week 28. Jack Stevens has all of those things. And Southampton play the bottom 4 sides in the next 6 game weeks. He's got clean sheets, assists, and goals in the last few. And then that Saints loss when they lost 9-0 to Leicester, I think he came on halfway through that game, or maybe he was taken off halfway through, but he's started every game since then. He hadn't started other than game week one until that loss. So he looks nailed on. He's got fixtures. He's got some form, and he plays in game week 28, and he's cheap. For me, that's all you need.
So when you're talking about reinforcing a bench for those blank fixtures, that he looks like a great...
He does,
great
and you don't even have to. You don't even have to sell De Bruyne to get him, probably, because you could go Lundstrom to Stevens, or there's two others at Newcastle, Fernandez or Lascelles. They're both cheap as well. They're both really not owned, and if you want a cheap kind of defender to go for, then those three are three that I'm looking
and
at.
And Newcastle with great fixtures coming up as well. Jack Stevens, 4.4 million is the price. Only 3.4% ownership. Sam, conversely, you've gone for a player who doesn't have a game in game week 28.
No, but good fixtures, coming up before that and after Martinelli. I think he's looks like he's going to be a top player. 10 goals in 23 appearances across all competitions, two in his last three, in which he's played the full games, the full 90 minutes for Arsenal, 2 8-point returns. And I think he just looks like he's got a bit of everything. He's a very direct runner with the ball. I think he's going to get assists as well. And already in his short Arsenal career, he shows that he's got the ability, the knack to find space in the penalty area and getting different types of goals. So I think he's going to start. I really do. I think there's Pepe, there's Aubameyang and there's Lacazette in the mix. But I think at the moment his form means that he has to be in Arteta's side.
4.6 million is the price, which is ludicrously cheap for a forward of such potential. 4.3% is the ownership. But there's also the Europa League coming up, and that's been the tournament where he's really been starring for Arsenal. I don't know if that's going to have a bearing on things. Jules, you usually have a good idea of what's going on at Arsenal.
Yeah, I think Martinelli could start more in the Europa League, those two games against Olympiacos.
And less than in the Premier League.
In the Premier League, yeah. Because he started at Burnley on the right-hand side. I think his favourite side is the left, where he did really well, for example, against Chelsea in the league. But with Aubameyang coming back from injury now, and I still think that Lacazette, for me, holds that number nine position because of everything that he brings to that Arsenal team and to the game in itself, is secure. So then it's either Pepe or Martinelli, you would think, with Ozil starting as well. And I do wonder how much of rotation Martinelli will be part of in Arteta's mind.
All right, so you are nominating Alexander Lacazette himself.
Yes, I think, okay, at least people have to hear me out, okay, on this.
Okay, so just say 9.3 million.
Yes. So Vardy's
price. Only 2% ownership.
Yes, and I do think, like Sam said very rightly, the fixtures, okay, there's that blank week. So if you can put him on the bench for that, or bring him in after that, maybe, then it's even perfect. But he hasn't scored for a long time, Lacazette.
Yeah.
But because the luck will turn. He went to Dubai with the team, and he says to me that did him and the team a lot of good, that he feels that his form is coming back, that he can score, assist in those games that are coming up. For example, he went on a camel ride with Aubameyang. And I think if you go on a camel ride, surely your luck is going to turn after that.
You're going to be over the hump.
Yeah. Over the hump indeed.
Right.
That's exactly
seriously,
what I was
going to say. He went on a camel ride.
He went on a camel ride amongst other activities in Dubai and hard training as well.
Sorry.
No, but seriously, I really think that Lacazette will shine in the next few weeks.
Another player who you wanted to mention who hasn't unfortunately been riding camels is Odion Ighalo. Ighalo,
yeah, because I think at 6.5, and Jeff could tell us a bit about the story of his price, but I think for someone who's going to play, you know he's going to play. He's going to play. I think they brought him in to play. He might not play every single game in full until the end of the season, but I think he will play. And you could expect him to be highly motivated because, let's be honest, like 4 weeks ago, he never thought that could happen.
Right.
And yet he's in the club that he's supported as a kid, and it's an absolute dream come true for him to play for Manchester United and to do well for United. He is a good striker. He fitness wise, he's good enough. I think he will get them goals, not 50 goals, but I think that, you know, if you look for a third striker in your team, and if you have 6.5 million, I think he's a very interesting one.
It's cheap, isn't it, Jeff?
It is. I think he could be more expensive. I mean, if he's starting all the time, then 6.5 looks an absolute bargain. If he isn't starting, then it looks less of a bargain. But I look at United and I think about the players that Ollie was bringing on when he needed a goal late in the game, and it was Lingard or Pereira. Yeah. And you think now, maybe that means now Ighalo actually starts and Greenwood is it just the impact sub and doesn't start? Or maybe Ighalo comes on, but I see him starting or coming on in most games. Now, I'm not going to go for him yet because I want to see him start. I want to see how he beds in a little bit. But he does have a game in game at 28. He should get some game time, I think. And maybe he doesn't start every game, but I would think he comes on and at least gets a few minutes every match.
Interesting. You tempted, Sam?
I would be more tempted by Martinelli at the moment, just because he's scoring goals. But given the size of United, the opportunities they'll probably create in a lot of the home games, possibly away from home, I think they've had their most success, certainly when you think back to the Chelsea games this season in the other competitions and at the Etihad, when they play very much on the counter. Yep. I think he might go for someone who's got a bit more pace down the middle, i.e. Martial, Rashford when he's back fit. Is he going to be back fit?
Right.
Or Greenwood.
And we also don't quite know when Pogba's back. But if Pogba's back and Fernandez is there in the midfield, then suddenly maybe there's actually some creativity there that, that the forwards at United can...
The one other thing to throw into this is that since signing Ighalo, they managed to not take him on their warm weather training because of potential restrictions on him returning to the country, and then not let him train with the rest of the team because of the fact that he'd been in China. So there's not too much clarity yet on when he'll actually be able
to... Yeah, no, he's definitely one to keep an eye on. Yeah. No, I don't think anyone should play him now, especially that soon they would have to play City and Leicester. City and Spurs, sorry. So, but maybe after that, if like Jeff said, he's picked up a bit of form, he's coming on, you could see he starts or comes on for half an hour, 35 minutes, then maybe.
All right. Well, up next, we'll be talking about the moves that we are actually planning to make ahead of Game Week 27. Game Week 27, got a way to go before it happens, but I bet you're tinkering with your sides already. Ajors, have you made any transfers?
Not yet. It's my goalkeeper situation
Is
that
it?
Annoys me.
Why?
Because I brought Gaeta in thinking, you know what, he's... The only thing they do is defend. They're usually pretty good at defending. And they've got great fixtures coming up, Palace. And I'm not so sure anymore.
Oh,
so,
right. Who's your other keeper?
McGovern.
So, okay.
Like, nobody.
Yes.
Yeah. So I can only pick Gaeta.
Who are you thinking to bring in then?
I don't know.
Should he bring in, Jeff?
Would Dubravka be any good? Well, McCarthy at Southampton?
I've gone McCarthy because of the fixtures at Southampton. And I'm thinking that I'll probably free hit in Game Week 31 when Southampton have a difficult fixture. And then I'll probably wild card soon after that. So up until the time I'm wild carding, McCarthy looks, until Game Week 32, he looks like a really solid pick.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I really need to get a wall chart together to... Sam, what are you...
It's good that, you know, so early in the season you're thinking about it.
Well, it's to be fair, this is the time to make a wall chart. Sam, you haven't got a wall chart, have you?
No.
Okay.
Not yet, no. I'm very optimistic about this current week, but moving forward, I already touched on it, I'm going to have to get rid of a few of these Manchester City assets. So that will mean another Liverpool player coming in for certain.
Right.
And also, I've got Webster at Brighton, who's not playing. And considering I haven't got much in reserve, I'm going to have to make a change there. So potentially Fernandes or Lascelles, because I had Lascelles early part of this season. And he started to return big points since he's got back fit in the last couple of weeks. Looks like a no-brainer considering their fixtures.
Okay. What about you, Jeff?
My team looks pretty well set up. I've made the last few transfers thinking about the blank. So I've got Lundstrom, but I can kind of just not play him in 28 along with De Bruyne and maybe Grealish. So I'm going to try to roll my transfer over and then keep one through the blanks in preparation of the blanks later on. But the one thing is I have Mane in my team right now as well as Salah. So I'm kind of looking at Liverpool and going, okay, I'm covered there. Mane's the second most sold midfielder ahead of the next game week.
Really?
Even though Liverpool's fixtures are good and they've got a Game Week 28 fixture. And there's a few others. Vardy and Ings are the two most sold forwards. And I think both of them, Ings especially with the fixtures, but Vardy, I can see why maybe people are selling, but there's a lot of movement there that I'm surprised about.
Well, I think the thing with Vardy is that there's only three forward slots and there are now suddenly players that you want to have in, whether you've got the money to bring in an Aguero and are confident about the rotation risk, or someone like a Raul Jimenez who's become... after Vardy, the most consistent returner as a striker. So maybe that's what's behind that. In terms of, I mean, we were saying before, don't forget about your team. Get a side locked in place already, just so that whatever happens ahead of the deadline, you've got a proper team in place. If people were looking at getting their captain assigned for Game Week 27 nice and early, who would be wearing the armband for you, Sam?
Sorry, West Ham, but I'm going to have to say Mo Salah, who play them at Anfield. On the back of a game against Manchester City where I've got Aguero as captain, I'm kind of doubling up on whoever's playing against
whoever
the Amers.
Plays West Ham. Well, 2 million captaining Mo Salah this game. We don't know. We presume he's going to play. But you're already won definitely for game week 27. Who gets your armband?
Yeah, same as Sam, Mo Salah as well.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm thinking Salah, but I have Mane sitting there, and he's at 20% ownership now. He'll be under that by the time the West Ham game rolls around. So if he plays against Norwich or if he plays in the Champions League game, I might look at Mane as an option for captain then when everyone else is going Salah, and just hope that that differential pays off.
Because that West Ham game will be, what, 6 days after the Champions League fixture, so you feel fairly... relatively low risk of rotation.
And I suspect he actually will play in... Either will play in the Premier League game or in the Champions League game. I think he's probably close to being ready. It's just, when does Klopp want to reintroduce him? I mean, that's speculation, I guess. But for the West Ham game, certainly, I think he'll be ready.
Well, we should have a clear idea this time next week when we're putting the final touches to our Game Week 27 lineups. Make sure you join us for that. If you want more FPL content in the meantime, like the FPL show and FPL FYI, then get across to PremierLeague.com. Many thanks to Julien Laurent.
Thank you.
For coming in today, even though, you know, things haven't worked out for you so well.
Slipping. Hang on, where are you again in the table? Oh, yeah. You're in the second... Are you second division? Oh, no, yeah. A bit below me.
Sam, thanks for coming in as well.
Pleasure, James.
And thanks to Jeff Dunce. To and you, listener, best of luck for the rest of Game Week 26. And we'll speak to you in a week.